The gospel today starts with a problem. We're beginning to move through the sixth chapter of John. We're going to be spending four more weeks on it. And it starts with this problem of a need of food, a large crowd in front of Christ who's hungry. They don't have enough food to provide for him, and that he will remedy this. It's not an old new problem. It's an old one. In our first reading back with the prophet Elisha, we see him also in need to provide food for the people. But it's one that, in a sense, highlights, in a way, the big picture that we're really talking about here. That as we move through these weeks, kind of in a little different from my normal style, I'm going to kind of build together that these next homilies will all be connected, looking at the stages of how we see things in our faith. You know, that before we get to this problem that we encounter, we can think of the original plan that's in the mind, the heart of God, you know, in the heart of Christ. That this plan is one that it kind of stands in contrast, that we see the problem of the need of bread in the first reading, the gospel, whereas Paul in the second reading is really talking about this unity, one God, one Father, who's over all, through all, and in all. This sense of unity and order, this sense of fullness that is in contrast to insufficiency. And so when we think of the big picture as Catholics, we think actually we start with God, with the existence, the fullness of life being that is God, a God that maybe at that point we do not know anything of, a point that's the point of belief and faith, a point that is uncertainty in many people's minds about the presence of God before creation. But for our perspective of faith, this is where we start, something that exists before our knowledge and our understanding, that we believe as we kind of go through these stages that God has reached out to us, spoken, communicated with us. But that even as we begin to look at the first steps of the plan of creation, we do believe that we even here can see signs of God, signs of order, signs of purpose. That in terms of order, we see in terms of the ability to understand the universe. That when we look at creation, we see that there's an order to it, that things happen for reasons. Our reason is able to develop into what we think of as science, the modern sciences. That these flow from this ability to engage the world with reason and see the plan. That it is something that ultimately, if it were just purely materialist or atheistic world without God, without a first cause, at some point that would have to break down. At some point we have to be speaking of things that happened without a cause and without reasons. That ultimately science doesn't have a firm foundation without that. So again, a sign that can point us towards faith in God. Also, I mentioned purpose, that when we look at creation, we see the presence of purpose. We believe that when we see things that help this purpose, we call them good. Things that go contrary to it, we call evil. We have this sense that there are things that exist that are truly evil, that we can't equate or say that they're the same, that we can't look at murder and genocide and say, okay, that ultimately isn't any better or worse than family and love and community. There just depends on an individual's decision. But when we look at those differences, we say, no, this is good. This is evil. This is something that not just my own mind or my own thought thinks is evil, but truly is contrary to what is good, what is true. That this sense that there is a purpose beyond just pure random creation that exists without any purpose, without any meaning, that this points again to a belief in God that we'll explore later. Because, again, this is just the first stage in how we see things. We believe, as this creation happened, with the ultimate purpose and order to allow God to share his life with us. That is what we believe is that purpose and order behind it. That in different ways, everything, rocks, trees, you know, just the natural world, plants, animals, share in the life of God in some different ways. But in a preeminent way, God has given a share of this life to us, that we can engage in an especially free and superabundant way in this life that he desires to share. That we have that ability to receive not just in the physical, material world, but also in our soul, our spiritual life, from that abundance of God. And that this problem that we'll be investigating is much more than just the need for bread, but that bigger challenge of the difference between life united to the fullness of God and a life separated from it is where we see this problem. That original temptation of Adam and Eve, If you eat of this fruit, you will be like gods, having knowledge of good and evil, as the serpent says. The sense of you do not need God, but in fact, apart from God, knowledge of evil, sin, this is part of what's essential to really having a full life. So in contrast, in faith, the belief that in fact only in union with God can we be like God. Only in union with God can we receive the fullness of life that we desire. That these other things that tempt are idols that cannot give what they promise. Things that come to control us, to dominate the world and weaken society. So we ask then, Lord, as we kind of begin to enter into this, that you would guide and enlighten us, that you would help us to see and to know you, your plan, your desire for us, to be aware as we take time to acknowledge the problems that we see, but to also be open to the way that you seek to feed and to satisfy this need.